The sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 8. We'll start at verse 16. These are the direct words of Christ as he is teaching his disciples. Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 16. Now, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care now how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." Pray with me. Our Father, help us now as we look at the eternal, as we look at truth, reality, that will not be shaken, that will not be changed. Father, help us now to step in accordance with this reality, to believe it and to yield to it, that it not be a sharp sword that cut us down, that it not be a rock that causes us to stumble and crushes us. But God, may we put off everything that stands against your truth, every vain speculation in our heart and in our minds. Help us to come now to your word, eager to be changed, that you will be glorified as we know you better, as we follow you better, as we are strengthened in accordance with love, as we are strengthened in accordance with truth. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a moment and think of the blessings of God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. This idea of the shining of God, it's that place where you have a good father, a warm father who can look on you and smile. And it's as if when your good father smiles on you, the light beams into your heart, and it strengthens you, and it makes you strong. It makes your very face shine so that when you look on other people and you smile, it's contagious, and they can take in that light. They can enjoy that light, and it strengthens them as well. Now take a moment and imagine your own sin. We all have it. Take a moment and consider that sin that enters into your life, or the sins that you manifest, the sins that you demonstrate, those sins that you know hinder your relationship with your Father. Those sins that when you commit them, it causes you to treat other people differently. You're more short with them, or you're more angry, you're more selfish with them. If you think I'm preaching directly at you, I am, but I'm preaching this directly at myself as well. I know these things about you because I know these things about myself. We're all coming into this together. The talk this morning in our Sabbath school class was one of the ideas that we should have crutches when people walk in. You walk in and we're all limping here, is the idea. I know you're limping because I limp too. It's the reality. So take this idea, the picture of God's face shining on you. Take this idea then, and I want you to name your own sin in your heart right now. Lust, greed, gluttony, pride, anxiety, any of these things. Take them and own it for a moment. And I want you to picture that sin as if you're putting a dark cloak over yourself and blocking God's smile from shining on you. Feel that imagery for a moment. Feel the darkness and the shadow and the cold that you place on yourself. And tell me, does that echo into the reality of your life? Does his faith cease to strengthen you? Does his smile cease to encourage you? Does it then keep you from shining on other people? Does it keep you from shining in life? Can you see what your sin does in this relationship and in all of these relationships? Well, Jesus is speaking in these terms. He's saying, look, no one takes a lamp. And the lamp that they would have would have been this little clay vessel. Think maybe you can think of like a genie lamp, that little picture there with this little lip that comes up, and they would put a wick in that and they would light it. It's got this oil in it. They light the wick and there it shines, and it's in this dark room. Imagine the wind coming through it. It flickers a bit and shines and casts shadows on the wall. But everybody can see now when this is lit. He says, you don't light it. You don't take this fire and you don't stick it under your bed. It doesn't make sense. He says, you don't light a lamp for that purpose. You don't take it and you put a bowl over it so that the whole room is still dark. He says it doesn't make sense. And he's saying, it's the same way with you. I don't light you as a light in this world. And then you're not supposed to go and hide under the bed. I don't light you and then put a bowl over you. And neither are you supposed to cover yourself with a dark cloak. I light you for a purpose. I light you. I have smiled on you. I have given you my grace. I have given you my joy. I have given you my strength. I have lifted the light of my countenance upon you that you will shine. Now, do you take your lust? Do you take your gluttony? Do you take your pride? Do you take your drunkenness? Do you take these things and drape them over you so that my light doesn't shine on you? So he says, here's my light. Here's my word. I'm giving it to you. And he says, be careful now. Be careful now how you listen. Be careful now how you take this truth and what you do to it. He's saying, because if you have this truth and you're nurturing it in your heart, if you have this truth and you're applying it in your life, I'm going to give you more. But if you don't have it, if you're not nurturing it, even what you think you have is going to be taken from you. Some of us have suffered great losses. Some of us have lost families, loved ones. Some of us have lost children. Even what we thought we had has been taken from us. We have the sad example of even pastors who had an appearance on the outside of having it together, but it turned out there was a dark sin that they were nurturing in their heart. And even these things, God has brought them to light. And even what they thought they had been taken away from them. The reality is there. The examples are there. So Jesus Christ speaks to you and he says, throw off the shadows. Throw off your dark cloaks. Throw off your sins. Throw off your fears. Put away this old man and put on Christ Jesus and shine. Shine. Let the light shine in your heart. Rejoice in those things that are good and noble and true and praiseworthy. Shine there. Shine in your house. Speaking of those things that are good and noble and praiseworthy and true. Acknowledge those things in one another. Shine in your church. Acknowledging those things that are good and praiseworthy and true. Shine in your job. Shine in the world. Acknowledging those things that are good and praiseworthy and true. Because as you do these things, the things that you have, Christ will add even more to it. But if you don't, even what you think you have shall be taken away from you. So our first step comes from verse 18. Now, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on the lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. This first step is cultivate lives that shine. Think of cultivation. I had to teach this at Vacation Bible School. It wasn't Vacation Bible School, it was like Vacation Bible School at International Conference. We were teaching cultivation, so I went online and found this picture of a cultivated garden and what it looked like. It had these nice, neat rows. It had dark soil in the midst of it. And I put that up and said, look at this cultivated garden. And then next to it, I put up a picture of my garden that was full of weeds. And it was a mess. And I said, cultivated, uncultivated. Each of us, I'm inviting you to look at your life and look at your heart right now. In relationship to Christ Jesus. In relationship to those things that bear good fruit. And we'll just go ahead and translate that into growing good tomatoes or growing good corn. These things that we would hope to be accomplishing in our gardens. Tearing out those things that mess with it. Those things that steal nutrients from the garden. Tearing out the weeds. Tearing out our sin. Tearing out our pride. Tearing out all those sins that so easily entangle, as the scripture describes it. And watering our hearts with the pure word. Being in good relationships where we're respectfully critical of one another. Even challenging each other. Spurring one another on in love and in good deeds. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container. We look, and even our isolation can be this thing that covers us. Proverbs 18:1 talks about the man who isolates himself is seeking his own desires rather than the man who's submitting himself to accountability. Jesus, talking about this light in Matthew 5:16, he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. I would like that description of myself if someone were describing me. If they said, he's shiny. What's Pastor Ramsey like? Shiny. One of my sons at one point was talking about President York, and he said, his head is radiant. If you remember Pastor York, he's very bald, and his head, you can actually see the light fixtures on his head. His head is radiant, was the comment. How would you like to be described as radiant? Radiant. My son said his head was a little bit distracting because it shone so bright. It was so radiant. Well, listen to this idea how the cultivation works. This is Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, this is the lamp lit, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the command now with us also. The commands continue. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Remember that, children and parents and everybody else. We do all things without grumbling and complaining. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You find yourself in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Do you find yourself in the midst of shadow and darkness? We had a birthday party yesterday, and some of my family members started chatting about Shark Week. Apparently, there's a week-long episodes of people hunting sharks and exploring sharks and studying sharks. And apparently, this one diver or group of divers were going down at night. So imagine going down into the dark ocean at night to look at sharks. Most of us are already saying, I'm out of here. I'm not doing that. If I see a shark in the ocean, I'm not going to go into the ocean. Well, a part of their experiment, when they went down, they had their lights shining in the dark. The sharks are swimming around. And a part of their experiment, they said, let's see if the sharks are attracted to the light. And the way that they tested that was, they shut off of the light. to see what will happen. Will all the sharks leave? And they waited some period of time in the ocean at night in the black with the sharks to see what it was going to be like. After a period, they turned the light back on and the shark and his big ugly teeth were right in their face. Is that where you are? Are you in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? Are you in the dark? He goes on to say, you appear as light in the world in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, holding fast. Remember that the idea of fastened. You're fastened to, holding fast to the word of life. Part of the way that we shine, is holding fast to Christ Jesus and what He says. We cultivate a heart that's fastened to Christ. We look and see how He moves. We follow Him. We trust Him. We love Him. We obey Him. Holding fast to the word of life so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Now we're going to come back to that Daniel 9:17 passage that I find so heavy. Daniel 9:17, this cry again. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. To what extent can you say that about your own heart? It's a desolate sanctuary, a place that's meant to be a holy place where Christ is held in honor above all. To what extent can you say that about your family? Is it a desolate sanctuary where Christ is to be honored above all? To what extent can we say that about our own congregation? To what extent are we a desolate sanctuary that needs to be cultivating this shining light? To be putting off our sin, where we will be a light shining in the dark place. So, this brings us to our second step then, which is be careful how you listen. Verse 18. So take care how you listen. So the question is, how are you listening to this word even now? How are you approaching this? To what degree will this word go into your heart and you will use it as an instrument or as a tool for change? This light is meant to shine, and as the light shines, it reveals the shadows in our hearts if we're listening with a true ear. That's what it's for. The other picture then is that natural man who looks at his face in the mirror, sees the things that are wrong, and walks away and doesn't change it. I've dealt with one of the things about men as they get older, and usually it's the single men as they get older. They stop shaving anything that they can't see in the mirror. They start getting these long hairs that grow up under their jaw. Do we look? Do we have that light? Do we look and do we see? Are you making adjustments? Do you come in and do you listen to the word as if you're going to the mirror to make sure I haven't missed something? Actually, we need to fix that. Not make sure I haven't missed something. Looking to see what I am missing. Everybody here is missing it. Everyone here is missing it. Everyone here is missing spots on their face. Every one of us here have strange hairs, long hairs, growing out of our neck at some place. Everyone here. Everyone is missing it. And if you're not coming into the sanctuary thinking, I'm missing it, show me where. We're walking through this life with these long, strange hairs growing out of our neck that everybody else sees. And we're not dealing with it. This is why Christ says, So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more will be given. If you're taking it and you're applying it, saying, change me, then you're doing it. And whoever does not have, that is, who's not seeing it, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. It's going to get worse. If you're not applying the word, it's going to get worse. It's going to get harder. It's going to get uglier. And even what you think you have, it will be taken away from you. It is the promise of Christ Jesus. Careful then how you hear. Now take in this moment here, what it means to hear and listen. Exodus 34:29 gives this amazing picture of what it was for Moses to meet with God. It says, Moses' face shone because of his speaking with the Lord. In your devotion time, or if you're coming and you're really listening, if you're drinking in the word, there will be a change that is like a shining face. Moses was given a literal shining face from his time with God. You and I will be given a smile, a joy, a shining life that cannot be hidden. A brother of mine who had a despicable and terrible life before he became a Christian. He hung out in bars all the time, was a part of his thing. And when he heard the word preached and God had given him a new heart, there was this crazy shift and transition in him. He knew that he was saved from God's wrath. He knew that he was saved from the fires of hell. And he went to his bar, which was his hangout, and he said, listen to me. Everybody, you have got to listen to me. And everybody shut up and turned and listened to him. And he explained the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself to pay for the sins of everyone who will trust in him. Explained new life and explained salvation. And as he looked around, everyone looked mortified and terrified as they looked at him. They almost couldn't bear his presence as he announced this truth and this reality. He laid out his message, invited people to talk to him. He prayed for the crowd, and when no one came, he left. And later he ran into a friend, and the conversation came up about that event. And he said, we all were afraid. And he asked, why? And he said, because your face shone. Your face was like a light, and we couldn't bear it. There'll be a reality to it. As real as a face shining in a dark bar, there will be a reality to your love for Christ Jesus, a reality to your love for your neighbors, your closest neighbors in your house, your love for your children. It will be real. It will be true. People will see it. There will be an impact. They will love you or they will fear you and hate you. But it has to be real. It has to be true. It has to be cultivated. Pulling out the weeds, those sins that so easily entangle. In Psalm 119:135, we sing and we pray, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. That is, teach me your law, teach me your commandments, that I will walk in this truth. Our next step, number three, is shine Jesus' light. Isaiah 9:2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. This is this prophecy of Jesus coming into the world saying, these people in darkness, Jesus is going to walk, he is going to preach, he is going to proclaim. We remember the reality of how that took place in the gospel. As he went from town to town, people were coming to him. Mass crowds were coming to him and coming to him and coming to him. And he's declaring, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me will never walk in darkness again. A reality and a truth. But now Jesus, in what sense is Jesus walking the world now? I think I would love for him to show up I would love for him to show up and announce. I'd love to run door to door and say, come and hear a man who has told me everything that I've ever done. I would love to say, come to the one who's healing the sick, raising the dead. Come to the one who has healed my own heart. Come and hear him. What does that look like now? What does it look like now? What is the feet of Christ? What is the body of Christ now present in this world? But you, and you and I have been put into the place to say, come and hear him. Come and be healed. I've been healed. I've been made strong. I've been made alive. Come and see. Come and hear. In what sense is Jesus the light of the world now? In the same way that he spoke of it in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. When I go camping, I prefer to have a campfire. I like a nice fire to sit around, and there's some neat cliffs along this hill out this way, all the way to New Brighton. And I would like to camp there, and I would like to camp and set up in one of those caves and have a fire there. But I can't be discreet. All of the faces of the caves face Beaver Falls. And I just don't want people knowing where I'm camping. I don't want people to look out and see my light shining from these places. I'm not interested in anyone knowing where I am. Some of these cities in the older covenants, some of these cities in old times, they would be set down in a valley and you could walk right past them and miss them entirely. But Jerusalem was set up on a hill. It could not be hidden. Why? Because God was its protection. That was the reality. He's saying a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are to be the city set on the hill. You are not to be hidden. Your faith is not a quiet, private faith of which you never speak. What he whispers in your ear, he says, proclaim from the rooftops. We are the light of the world and we are not to be hidden. 1 John 5:1-5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. That God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. But any light that shines in you is Christ's light. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This word comprehend it, it's hard for us to translate. The idea is to overcome, or specifically to surround. So some people say the darkness did not comprehend it. Some people say the darkness could not overtake it. But the light that you shine is indomitable. That light cannot be undone. That light cannot be snuffed out. It is the eternal light of Christ Jesus. So our fourth step now, having received this light, is build on what you have rather than suffering loss. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. We'll just go ahead to the Pharisees and the religious rulers of the day. They thought they'd arrived. They thought that they had a kingdom. They actually said at one point, we need to shut Jesus up. We need to kill Jesus. We need to kill Lazarus, or else everybody's going to believe in him and our kingdom's going to be taken from us. That was their position. Shut God up, or we're going to lose what we have. Jesus says, what you think you have is going to be taken. Is this ominous to you? I hope so. I hope so. Is this a threat? Yeah. Threat, probably more than that. Probably a promise. If you're not putting off your sin, if you're not trusting in Christ, even what you think you have will be taken away. Now, with that lump dropped on you, I'm going to bring you to your fifth step now, which is don't give up. Some of us, we think it's just easier to turn around and give up. it might be easier, but it will not be better. Take that in for a second. It might be easier to give up, but it won't be better. We see the posture of King David after his terrible sin towards God, his terrible sin towards Bathsheba, his terrible sin towards Uriah. The terrible guilt was placed on him, and God had informed him through the prophet Nathan that his child was going to be taken from him. But David's posture in 2 Samuel 12 was not to give up. He fasted. He prayed. He begged for God to give life again as long as there was hope. I invite you to that place. Not to give up. But if some sin is holding on to you, or whatever sin is holding on to you, even fast. Even pray. Even beg that God again would shine the light of His face onto that desolate sanctuary that is your heart. It is what each of us need, to come to that truth, to hear what He says, to apply what He says, forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And the final application, number 6, is hear what He says and do it. Luke 8:21. But He answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the words of God and do it." Imagine. So there's a place that talks about Jesus' physical brothers, His biological brothers, didn't believe in Him. They said, "Wait, if you're really doing this stuff that you say you're doing, these miracles that you're doing out in other places," they said, "go up to the festival. Prove it. Prove it," they say. And said they didn't trust in Him yet. Well, Jesus at that point, or as He is speaking to them, well, we're going to look at His brothers. So Jesus' brothers and his mother, I think, even thought He was nuts. At one point, they thought He was out of His mind, and it says they went to collect Him. So imagine the mother and the brothers coming to where Jesus is teaching in this house, and they can't get in. And somebody comes and says, "Hey, your mom's out there, man. And your brothers, they want to see you." And I imagine them standing outside in the dark, and I imagine they could hear through the window Jesus teaching. And Jesus announces this condemnation on them. "My brother, my brothers, my mother, it's these who hear the word of God and do it." Imagine Mary and James and his brothers looking at each other, thinking, "He just denounced us. He just denounced us. He just said, 'I'm not his brother.' He just said, 'You're not his mother.'" He's saying, "These people in here who listen and do it, that's my real family." That brings us to the place to look at ourselves and say, "Am I his real family? Am I listening? Am I doing it? If not, I invite you to repent." Repentance is something that's daily for all of us. It's a necessary work in our lives. If it's a sin that has entangled you for any period of time, I invite you to fast. To demonstrate to yourself that God is more important to you than your daily bread. To repent. To turn. To look to Him. To call on Him. To put off your sin. Put off your fears. Put off all of your shadow. To shine. For Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Our God, it is a fearful thing to have heard You and to find ourselves guilty. God, bless us and help us now, Lord, that we would turn to You and be healed, to walk in Your truth, to shine for You in the dark world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.